What do we do? Because we are at what? Like,
we're at, okay. Let's just keep it tight. Completely cut out the last bit and let's start fresh. You talk about, it was just practice. Yep, it was just practice is what it is. Well, you talk a little bit about Inscription. We'll talk a little bit of Overwatch. We'll talk a little bit of that. And then just the disturbing stuff, just save do away
next
with it.
Week. Cause
yeah, we'll,
it'll be good to talk about it on the back of finishing, Inscription and starting Plague's Tale Innocence.
Yeah. Sweet. We'll keep it a tight, like 30 minutes.
Sweet. Sweet. I like it.
I am so sorry.
You're good, dude.
I was looking at it and I was like, wait a second.
Something's wrong.
I was like, something is not happening. Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Arcade Cozy, Cozy's Gaming Room on the Internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And take two, Corey. We are finally take recording two. This time.
Yes, yes.
So we recorded, the better way of saying this is we were just talking into the computer for a little while and not getting anything out of it.
It was a rough draft. It was a rough draft, you know?
Yeah.
Now we've gone, we've edited what we've said in our minds, and we're coming back for the final product.
Yeah, dude. Corey.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I am good. I have had a good week. I have enjoyed some gaming. I've enjoyed some reading. I've enjoyed some television. I do feel as if a weight has been lifted off my shoulders having finished the Wheel of Time series because it was so gargantuan in scope, I think. Now that I've been able to set that down, I'm like, oh, wow, you know, there's an outside world.
When you're not slogging through 20,000 pages of book. It's amazing.
Skirt smothering, dicing. People misunderstanding what they mean, but they're all on the same page, but one person has just said it wrong. So now there's like a dispute.
Classic.
Yeah, classic. It's been a good week, and it is the spooky season, and I think I've enhanced or like reined that in for what that means for me, and it's exciting. But how have you been?
Oh, not too bad. Just kind of same old, same old. Doing work, doing house stuff, doing the things, playing the same stuff that I'm always playing. Corey, Overwatch 2, and still Xenoblade Chronicles 3. So we're going with it.
I love
nothing new yet, but yeah, I plan on embracing spooky season to at least some extent. I just got a copy of Ghostwire Tokyo.
Nice.
Which is spooky-ish from everything that I heard. Plan to play that and kind of fit that in. Also, I'm pretty sure I ordered it, but I think I also got a copy of Strangers of Paradise too.
Oh, nice. What is this?
So I'll probably also try to fit that in, but not during Halloween because it's not scary. It's not spooky. No,
it's not for the season.
Yeah. But yeah, Corey, you've been playing Inscription.
That is
quite spooky by all accounts. Regale me. Tell me all about it because it's supposed to be a magnificent game that I have not played.
So Inscription, it is a magnificent game that you have not played. It is the basic premise of the game, which we'll go ahead and get to it out the gate. That way, if anyone who's like curious, like, should I play Inscription? Should I not? And this is just my take on it because Corey is a big wuss when it comes to scary stuff and unsettling stuff. I do not like it. I appreciate it as its art form and its art storytelling. I have a respect for it, but I do not like it. It is not for me.
Yeah, you get it.
So with that, Inscription is an extremely unsettling but also incredible game. The premise of it is that you, as your character, you don't really have a name, so it's meant to be as you because it's in first person, has been abducted, kidnapped, taken, whatever you want to call it, by this crazy person, what I assume to be a serial killer, in a cabin in the woods. He is holding you hostage, and essentially, he just wants you to play a game with him. It is a card game that he has set up that it goes by his rules, and it is incredibly good. I will give it to him. The man's a genius.
All right.
The basic premise of the card game is you are trying to there's a scale. And your goal is to drop his scale to the bottom before it tips your way to the bottom. So you can even out points. You can take more points. He can take points from you. Your points are measured in teeth of his victims.
Of course.
Very unsettling.
Yes.
And so how the basic cards work is that you have to sacrifice cards to play cards is the general premise. There's only four slots. I've said general premise way too much. There's four slots you can play on. To start out, you generally play a squirrel, which doesn't require any sacrifice to play. But let's say you want to play a toad. You would sacrifice then your squirrel so you could play the toad because the toad only needs one sacrifice to be played. But let's say you also want to play your wolf,
that's going to be at least three toads.
It's two, actually.
Two toads.
Two. It does two damage and has three health, or it might be two health and three damage. I can't remember exactly which one it is. But you would sacrifice a toad and maybe a squirrel that you can play for free because you can play as many cards as you want during a round as long as you have the materials to do that, the cards to do that. Here's where it gets really interesting is some of the cards talk to you. And so they will be like, ooh, play me. Or sometimes you'll play them and be like, oh, that was a bad move, dude. You are not going to like how this goes. Or they'll be like, hey, there's actually other cards around. You need to find them. And so you find another guy and they'll be talking and they're trying to help you like, hey, you need to get out of here. That guy's crazy. Like he is insane. You already know this though, because he's kidnapped you. Hey, there's this other card. He really sucks, but he has a plan that we think would work to get you out. And it's also one of those things where you're kind of like, do I trust you?
Right.
Like, Do I trust what's happening? Like, what you're telling me? There's a guy across the table. You never see his face. You just see his eyes. There's no vocality to it. It's just text. And so what the premise... why did I say that again? I hate myself. And so he is essentially a one-on-one game of D&D. He has a map on the table and you move across essentially this drawn out kind of linear, but there's a couple branching paths and you'll move up the space and you're going to play cards against him. Let's say he beats you, but okay, well, I've beaten you. I'm knocking out one of your candles. I beat you again. Sorry, you kind of have to die. I will kill you. You're like, got it. The whole time, your hand that's holding the cards is like shaking, which is kind of how I feel holding the controller. Because again, I am creeped out by it. But let's say you get to a branching path. You now have the ability to go to either this bonfire or you can go to like this ritual site. You go to the bonfire and you can put one of your cards into the fire that's surrounded by strangers who are all starving and how he describes it, like looking at you hungrily. Yeah, exactly. Cannibalism. We love it. But you can
huge fans here.
You can put your card in the fire. Oh, I remember exactly. It lowers its health, but it raises its attack. It cuts its health in half to raise its attack by whatever it cut it in half by, which honestly pretty good trade off with some of them, because some of them have a lot of health but don't do a ton of damage, and so you can go from like 6 health to 1 damage to 3 and 3, and you now have a pretty solid card. Or you can go to the left side and you can sacrifice a card and give it its stats to another card, which also helps a ton. There's a couple other things that can happen, but those are generally the two I go for the most, because I find them the most rewarding, or like the most, like there's immediate, like this is very helpful. There's some where you'll come across like 3 cards and it's like, okay, pick one card. Now this gets added to your deck, but you're not always guaranteed to draw it.
Right. But
with some of the others, I'm like, okay, I already have them and I know what they can do. Why not just make them better? That's kind of the mindset I have. And I do pick up cards every now and then. But so you go through, you have the other cards who are talking with you. You can obviously play them as well. They're trying to coach you through it, but you die a second time. Well, then his creepy hands reach across the table, strangle you to knock you out. And then you wake up in a room and you can see him in the shadow with his camera. And it's like, I'm going to take a photo of you now before I kill you. Again, I hate it. It is awful. It's awful, awful, awful. But as like he takes your picture, you get to create a card that now gets added to your deck. And they're actually, most of the time, I've had 2 of them. They're really, really good. And so then you start back over as someone else. He's now abducted because he is a serial killer, and you go again.
Yep. Yep.
There are a couple other facets to the game. Like whenever you're playing cards, you have like these 3 items that you can use to like help you out. Like one is a glass bottle with a squirrel in it in case you need a new squirrel. Sometimes there's other cards in it, but I can break this. I have another squirrel to play, so I can now play another card. There's one that's a set of pliers. It's horrendous, but you pull one of your teeth to add it to scale to lower his side down. And so if he's come in and all of a sudden like knocked out, like a lot of my cards are done a lot of damage to me, and my scale's down a good bit, I'm like, okay, well, I know I'm going to get like 3 back. That still puts me 1 down. I'll pull a tooth and just even it out. And that way we're at 0-0 essentially.
Okay.
Like we're starting over.
Yeah.
I hate it. It sucks. But there's also other parts of the game where, because there's like aerial stuff, you can change like different card types, or like it's like different totems that you have that you can activate. And it's like, okay, well, I can activate my deer that I have. And now instead of my cards being stationary across these 4 blocks, they like change and move around. And like shift, or he has a bird that he plays a ton that turns them to aerial. They now do like aerial damage, which means they can do more damage to like land creatures, because there's different like types. Which also goes in his way a lot. He also cheats a lot.
Of course.
And the cards will like point you, like, okay, if you go to the book, you can find out, you can learn more stuff about how to beat him. You can also find like a combination to this lock and the safe over here. And there's a card in there that you can get that will help out as well. So that's really cool. There's also, I appreciate this about the game. It's a great game design. If like all of a sudden you have found yourself in like, oh, I'm in a winning formula where I can just do this like same set of move over and over again, and I'm going to win, he just concedes. If you do it like 2 times in a row, he's like, okay, I see where this is going to go. Do you want to go ahead and just like call it? Like, I'm going to let you move on. And you do. And so I haven't seen a consequence to that yet. He's just like, what? Okay. You have me beat. What more do you want? Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I guess he's reasonable.
The best serial killers are.
Yeah.
As so we've learned.
I know the game flips itself on its head like halfway through. I don't know how. I don't know what way. It hasn't been spoiled for me. I'm very excited for it. But right now I'm like, how the heck do I get out of this cabin? You can move around the cabin too, which is honestly worse. Because anytime you look where he is in his shadowy corner, you can see his eyes just staring at you. And I'm like, I hate that. I do not like it. They do not appreciate it. Like, I'm trying to put the lock. I'm trying to do the lock. And I'm like, right. I know he's looking at me. And I'm just, like, waiting to see, like, the hands wrap around my face while I'm trying to do it. And it doesn't happen. Or it might eventually. I don't know. But the whole game, I'm very unsettled, very creeped out. I can't play the game at dark or when it's nighttime. I play it during the day, which limits a lot of the time I can play. But
yep.
Besides all that, it is a really good game. It's very well designed. The card like game aspect, the deck builder of it is executed very, very well. There's a lot of different mechanics, but they all make sense. Like, there's also the whole thing of like, okay, when he kills some of your cards, you get these tokens, bones tokens, and only some of your cards can be played by having enough bone tokens to put on the deck. And so instead of sacrificing thing, I sacrifice six bone tokens and I play this very powerful card because six of mine have like been killed during this round. And he's on there now and he's wrecking his ish. So there's like a lot of moving parts to the game and it takes a while to kind of get your brain around it, but it's done so, so well. I see why people rave about it. It lives up to the hype. But if you're going into this game, just be like, just know, like, it is a like very disturbing concept of like the background of it. It is creepy. You don't feel comfortable, mainly because your character on screen is never comfortable. He's always trembling.
Like, yep.
You have some agency, but everything you do is very much dictated by this guy who takes on multiple personas depending on like what level you're at too in his story. Like, he'll be the prospector or he's like this like totem woman, so on and so forth. Like, he takes on different masks. It's just know that going in, like, if you don't do well with that idea, yep. It might not be the game for you. But I would say like the gameplay itself is exceptionally like great. So I would weigh those options as you're kind of looking at like, do I pick this up? Do I not? Like, what am I doing? But it's really good, I will say.
Yeah. That's been, you know, the only thing kind of like holding me back has been knowing that like, yeah, it's got its stuff. Like, it's supposed to be the subversiveness of it and all mm-hmm. the big twists and everything are enough for me to be like, yeah, I want to check this out. But the kind of like more disturbing nature of it, I think at times, like even the aesthetic of like your cards are animals that you're sacrificing, like mm-hmm. not as super into that.
No.
we were going to at the end of this episode have a conversation about like unneeded like disturbingness in media and stuff, and like, you know, we're not right now, maybe next week, but next week. You know, stuff like that, like, you know, not super into just like the gratuitousness of things just for being, but I still, you know, maybe soon, since we are in the midst of spooky month, I may pick it up, check it out. See, plus I also love deck builders. Mm-hmm. So them's the breaks. I sometimes just gotta do it. But yeah, you're enjoying Inscription though, Corey?
Yeah, all around. Like, I'm really digging it. It's a like 'tis the season, truly. You know, I plan to finish it up this week. Maybe hopefully tomorrow. I have a week off for rec soccer. We have a bye week, which I don't really know why we have a bye week, because we played a doubleheader. We had a bye week. We played last week. Now we have a bye week. We played next week. Then we have another bye week. And I'm like, what was the point of the doubleheader? That's our point. I'm going to pick up Plague's Tale Requiem this week, which will be another spooky game because rat tornadoes.
Yeah, boy.
But again, I really enjoyed the first game. I'm excited to see them like really flex what they can do, because it was a very simple gameplay with a very good narrative and like very like compelling narrative as well. And it feels like they have a little bit more budget, a little bit more like oomph that they can put behind this game. And so very excited for it. It should also be another spooky game for me to play. and just, you know, gotta fit it all into the season.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, hopefully I can break out of this Overwatch 2 shtick and start playing some stuff. But yeah, Corey, Overwatch 2, still happening.
Yes.
Still a game.
Still pretty good.
Yeah,
despite a lot of technical issues, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been, I mean, I don't know, the technical stuff has not been too bad. Like, now after the last couple of weeks, like, at the beginning, yes, very much. But, like, now you get in, server seems stable, you can get in really quickly, game's fun to play. The big stuff now is just, like, you know, they're having issues with their competitive mode, or they're fixing stuff with the competitive mode where
they are,
where like people across the board, including ourselves, have been placed way too low. Just, yes. I mean, you know, we're top 500 players easy, and we're getting placed.
I don't need that kind of hype, man.
I want
my reputation to be factual.
Don't sell yourself short. We are champions. No, but you've been in the past like gold platinum player, and I've been all over the place. I've ranked in gold before. At my peak, I was an almost master player. But yeah, we both placed in bronze. Many people who are some of the best in the world are placing in bronze, and it's been this like weird thing where it's like you play competitive games and you're in bronze playing against other bronze players, but it's people who are like hit scan, like just, I mean, like headshot, like boom, just mowing the floor. And it's like, it's very difficult because like you'll be on a team where it is somebody who's an actual bronze player, and your tank is like a diamond player, and the person across from you is like top 500 or whatever. And so it's like this very, like the game is in a very weird place because it hasn't filtered people out. Like,
yep.
And Blizzard's admitted it, that there was a bug with it, but it's very kind of all over the place. So that's confusing. There's shop stuff. That's another thing. Whenever we recorded before, I went into all these things, but basically Corey, yeah. The shop's just kind of in this weird place where it's like, you know, which free to play stuff is in general, like if you want to, like if you just play and you go across the battle pass, there's some cool stuff. But if you want to go into the shop, there's virtually no way of earning any sort of currency to actually buy anything that isn't new. So if you want an old skin, if you want whatever, if you haven't played Overwatch before and you're like, hey, that old like Witch Mercy skin, that's pretty cool. That came out back in like 2016. That's really neat. How do I get it? Well, you need 2000 gold. Well, how do I get gold? Well, you can get gold just by playing. Okay. Well, how much gold can I get? You can get 60 gold per game. No, per week. So, right. So it would take you 30 something odd weeks to get enough to be able to,
year.
Right. To be able to buy that one skin. And so it is just kind of a weird system. I mean, it's the free to play, like they all have their stuff and they all have their systems. And like, you know, I'm glad that there is a set path, like being able to do battle pass things. You can guarantee, okay, well, if I get to the cap, I'm going to get that really dope Genji skin. Mm-hmm. Like I know for a fact I'm going to get it, but then it makes it sad on the other end. Cause it's like, you know, you're not being able to get some of those old skins. Like, yeah, they cycle through the shop, but without any reliable way to be able to earn any sort of currency. It feels very like gamey where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to spend, I mean, 1,000 coins is $10, but I'm gonna have to spend $20 to buy this thing. Whereas before, like I could have spent $20 on 20 loot boxes and potentially got no legendary skins, but could have gotten 10 legendary skins. Yep. Who knows? Like, you know, So it's just a weird thing. That's the only big gripe right now. Still having a lot of fun playing it. Still enjoying it a lot. I've been playing just I've been going into roll queue and just queuing for everything, but yeah, pretty much 99% of the time I'm a healer just because like nobody ever wants to heal.
You love me.
So those healer. Are the, but yeah, well, I mean, I am probably the most flexible at being mm-hmm. a healer because like I can play a good Moira who has like a really good, like
she's almost DPS.
Pours. Yeah, well, she can do some good damage potentially. She
I had a 48 kill game with Moira the other day.
Look at you. Look at it.
And still like 8,000 healing.
Yeah.
She is DPS. I'm gonna heal it.
But she can just pour healing like a faucet. And then like I can play a good Brigitte who's like an aura healer. I can play a decent Zenyatta who can be kind of like a sniper almost in his own mm-hmm. right. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's, I have no problem with it. It's just, you know, granted there are plenty of modes I can go into and playing as anybody I want, but yeah. I do kind of miss getting to play some DPS. Haven't played any Cassidy, haven't played any Hanzo, haven't played any,
Reaper. That's your fave, man.
I've played like two games as Reaper, but I haven't played any like Soldier 76, haven't checked out May. Like I've played a little bit of Zarya, but it's just been like, I've been queuing for healer just because it's like, well, it's like a minute to get into a game as a healer as opposed to like 5 minutes to get into a game as like a DPS or something. So, you know, I'm just going to roll with it. But yeah, other than that, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, it's going. I'm enjoying it. Chapter 5 is where I'm at now. Big stuff happening. Yeah. It's, I would like to have like a spoiler discussion about it. Assuming you finish it. If not, then I'll just do it by myself.
No, I plan to. I'm in chapter 4 now. So,
I'm
still playing.
Big man.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, I completely forgot. I finished Tunic this past week too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I finished it like fully. Like I beat the game
fully.
Yeah, because you beat the game, and then it's like actually you didn't beat the game. You should go back and play it if you want to, though. And so I did, and I'm like, okay. I looked it up. I'm like, what do I need to do to like beat the game? I looked up there. Like, you actually just have to collect all the manual pages. I'm like, easy enough. Not easy enough. That is a difficult task, I would like to say. Like, the puzzles make, I thought they made sense. And then once it did click, I'm like, oh my God, like, where are all of them? Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because there are puzzles. It's, I think you described it. It's almost Witness-esque. I'm like, there's random puzzles across the map on like walls, on the ground, on a bunch of different things. And there, some of them, like there's a clear indicator where they are. I don't want to say more because I don't want to spoil it for people who are like, that will come across it. But there and others, there is not a clear indicator. Like, and some of the others, I'm sitting here like, I need a notepad and a pen so I can like write down what I need to do. It is ridiculous. It is good. I don't want to like discredit it, but you were saying it and I agree with you. It is a little too obtuse at times where I'm just like, there is no reason for this to be like this.
Yep.
Like you are doing this for giggles and I'm not laughing.
Well, and it's kind of like, you know, I mean, Tunic, like I like the fact that game designers are able to put that stuff into a game and just like, if somebody finds it, great. If nobody figures it, like, which granted with this, they're like the manual has all those answers. Like you can go through it and decipher things.
It does.
Some games, it's a thing where it's like, well, if you go to the levels in like a 7, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, like sequence, and you hit this statue 4 times. Like, there's nothing to indicate, but if you do that, you'll get like a secret item and what, like stuff like that, that is like very old school in whatever it is. Like, it's just like, there's, whenever that stuff happens, it's almost a little frustrating because it's like, if there's nothing to indicate that you can do this, or there's no sort of hint to it, then the only person that's going to figure it out is somebody who is like 5 years old and like, this is the only game they have and they're just going to play through it and like happen to figure it out. At least with Tunic, it is a thing where like I wasn't incentivized to do a subset of the like secret treasure things because like there wasn't much of an like a guide kind of leading you there. Like, you know, not super spoilery, but at least like kind of to paint the picture, like there's one secret treasure that is like a part of the windmill that like there is you can kind of see it when you're looking at the windmill, but also there's stuff, there's a clear, like in the manual, in the margins, it's like, it's a picture of the windmill and there's like notes about it.
Yeah.
So you can kind of piece that together relatively easily where it's like, okay, I get the direction that it's in. But then there's some where it's like, I know that there's supposed to be one that has to do with like the wind chimes, but I think there's only like, there isn't like an indication of like, I don't know. Like there's some of it, I was just like, I don't really have the motivation to like really sit down and decipher all of this. Some of it like really neat, really interesting. Some of it, it's not for me. I'm not that person. But yeah, it's I enjoyed
Tunic. It's a phenomenal game.
I liked it.
It is actually so good. But yeah, by the end, I'm just like hitting my head against the wall. Like, why? Yeah. How do I even find all of these? And like, I guess I just walk around the map. I guess I just do it. Also, one thing, the game kind of tells you, but it doesn't. I didn't realize I could take or I could change the world back today for the longest time. And I'm like, I know there's one of these puzzles over there. I just can't get back to it. And then that was another thing I had to look. I'm like, can I do this? And they're like, yeah. And it's absolutely in the manual, but it was just not something like, unless like you specifically know what you're looking for, it like you won't catch it. And I didn't really know what I was looking for.
Yeah. Now, were you talking about like in the running around? I mentioned it kind of vaguely, but were you talking about the fairy parts?
Yes.
Like running around and finding them?
Screw those things.
There is a page in the manual that like tells you there's like a tracking thing, like you can do a thing that
but not all.
I just wasn't
marked.
Sure if you were I just wasn't sure if you were aware of
I'd be like, okay, I need it, okay, so I know where to go. And so I'm like, but it doesn't, it gives you a general area. It doesn't say like it's in this, it's like it's in the East Forest. Also, I'm like, okay. And
well, and also, too, beyond that, like, you know that there was a, I'm trying to phrase it in a way that doesn't, like, give anything away, but there's, like, there is something you can do where it actively, like, gets you to where the fairy puzzle is.
No, like, I know that whole thing.
Okay,
That, the spell, I guess, is no, I knew to do that, but still it would be okay.
Right.
And it was just, I found it very obtuse. Not bad. Obtuse doesn't mean bad, but just like, I feel like it could have been a little bit easier, but I did figure it out.
And partially too, because there was like, it would get you to where the fairy puzzle was, but there was no sort of indicator as to like what you were supposed to do. And in some cases it was pretty obvious where it was like, you know, you could tell, you were like, okay, I see that there's something here. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out like this puzzle. But in some cases, it would be a thing where it's like, okay, you need to go here, but it needs to be nighttime mm-hmm. and it needs to, and it was yep. like, that part of stuff was not super clear. And again, it's one of those like exploratory things. Like it's not, there's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And a lot of it's extra. So it's not like it's, you know, but yeah, you know, it was a, I really do hope that they, whether it's a Tunic 2 or whatever, like that this team makes something else.
Yeah.
I would. Because I enjoyed
I would like it as well. It's really good. It's like, that's just the best way I can describe it. Like it is a very, really good game that has a lot of soul and a lot of heart behind it. You can tell they loved what they were making.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see what other, okay. So this doesn't tell me, I was trying to look up who developed it. Mm-hmm. But so it was developed or designed, I don't know, by one dude.
Oh.
Which I thought I had heard, so that makes sense. But it was published by Finji, which they also published Chicory and Overland and okay. Night in the Woods and stuff like that. So, cool. So other stuff. But yeah, gory. Also, I don't know how to segue back into it. So we were talking about this in the original thing, but you've read Norse mythology by Neil Gaiman.
I did. Yeah. No.
It came up more naturally whenever we were recording before. But yeah, you read that?
I did. So again, like I think I said last week, another podcast I listened to, they brought up that they were doing that in lieu of Ragnarok coming up. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. So I picked it up. It's like $10. It's a really short read. It's about 12 chapters, 20-ish pages each. The pages are short too. And yeah, I feel very informed. Not only do I feel informed, I realize like Studio Santa Monica knew their ish when making God of War 2018 in regards to the mythology of the world there. Like yeah. they got a lot of things right. This is also their take on it as well. So you can see like the branching paths that they're taking off, and like what they're doing a little bit differently, but the base story and the base idea of it is all the same. And I found it, especially getting into the latter half, because it's kind of written in a like sequential order, like this is kind of the timeline of events. It's going into Ragnarok, like the Ragnarok chapter is the longest at like 25 pages, but I'm like, okay, I see where this is heading. And it's going to be pretty different, like, game to what has been written, but I don't know how I say pretty different. I could also see it being, like, very close together at the same time. But I think it is, if you loved God of War 2018, you're really excited for Ragnarok, and you just want a little bit more of that spice heading into it, I'd pick the book up. I read it in a couple of days. I am a fast reader. But
look at you.
I think like you could pick it up, read it, and like even if you didn't play God of War 2018 and pick this up, I think you would have a decent understanding of what was happening and like what's okay. going on. You know, Kratos and Atreus are like the wild cards in the upcoming game, because obviously they're not a part of actual Norse mythology. Atreus kind of is. Don't want to spoil that too much. We've spoiled it in a previous one, but I don't yep. want to like double up on that if you don't know and you avoided it. And yeah, it's going to be really good. I have a more like appreciation for what was done in 2018 and like, hopefully what's going to be done in the upcoming sequel in a couple of weeks. And yeah, good book. I highly recommend picking it up and like just giving a quick little read. You don't even have to read all of it. You can just read some of it.
Yeah. I also picked up a copy. I haven't read any of it yet, but I just got it a couple of days ago. Nice. So I will be also reading it and seeing what what kind of new predictions come out of my head. Nice. So I'm excited about it. But yeah, Corey, next week, I want to hear more about Inscryption.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully I've played something spoopy. I want to contribute to the conversation.
As you should.
It's always fun to, you know, my wife and I, we really have not done anything holiday related. We've been so busy with the house,
right?
All that kind of stuff. Like, you know, neither of us are big horror fans. Our daughter isn't old enough yet to really even like be comfortable watching even like kind of baseline Halloween stuff. So she hasn't really, it's not like she's watching Hotel Transylvania or something like that. I think we're going to start trying to watch something. I want to watch that like Werewolf by Night thing on. I've heard really good things. But yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll have something to talk about. But Corey,
we shall.
This has been an episode. Where can people find you on the internet when they want to find you on the internet?
They can find me over on Instagram at #slingingthrasher or on Twitter at @staythrashy. But as always, and most importantly, follow our Twitter page, @arcade_cozy. Chris, where can the peeps find you?
You can find me at Arcade Cozy. Well, you can find us at Arcade Cozy on Instagram. You can find me at 4PointPixel on Instagram, at Swiss Von Joe on Twitter. You can also follow us at arcadecozy@gmail.com. Not follow us, email us.
Email us.
Questions, comments, concerns. Also, while I'm thinking about it, fans of 4PointPixel, the store, new stuff coming your way. Soon, I had a huge revamp of stuff that's working on. There's nothing yet. No announcements yet, but I have some stuff working, so there's going to be some new stuff, and it's going to be cool. So yeah, keep an eye out on that. Intro, outro music, Johnny B. Good, 89, on Instagram. Check him out. Show him some love. But Corey, until next week, I hope you have a wonderful week. And this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be too...